Before we get to today's Wiggle Room podcast, I want to take a moment and thank one of our sponsors today, and those are our friends over at ZipRecruiter. If you're hiring, you know that every business needs great people and a better way to find them. Why is it easier to find an immunity idol from Survivor China than a great person for your business? You need something better than just posting your job online and praying for the right people to see it. ZipRecruiter knows there's a smarter way, so they built a platform to help find the right job candidates for you. ZipRecruiter learns what you are looking for, identifies people with the right experience, and invites them to apply to your job. These invitations have revolutionized the way you find your next hire. In fact, 80% of employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate in just one day through the site. And ZipRecruiter doesn't just stop there. Oh no, they spotlight the strongest applications you receive so you never miss a great match. The right candidates are out there. ZipRecruiter is going to help you find them. Businesses of all sizes trust ZipRecruiter to meet their hiring needs. Right now, our listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, for free. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/survive. That's ZipRecruiter.com/survive at ZipRecruiter.com/survive. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Check it out.
Josh.
Wiggle, 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 wiggle.
Lur.
Wiggle, 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 wiggle.
Lur.
Wiggle, 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 wiggle.
Lur.
Wiggle, 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 wiggle.
Lur.
Do the wiggle, man. A little wiggle, man.
Yes, yes, the Wiggle Room with Josh Wiggler.
My God. Regrets, I have a few, like shaking my head so hard to that theme song just now and feeling nauseous. Yeah, that's what just happened to me right now. I just did the wiggle dance with only my head, and that was a mistake, and I won't do it ever again. I feel a little dizzy right now.
All right, first question, are you still mad at me?
Probably will be like a little bit mad at you forever. I would guess. Like I'm very immature and I'm very sensitive and I hold on to a grudge for a long time. But I think like my love for you so far still overrides my seething hatred.
All right. Well, just to clue the listeners in that over the weekend that Josh was not happy with something that I tweeted and asked me to take it down. And, you know, I had just gotten a little upset with some of the praise that Josh has gotten for First One Out. And everybody talked about how great it was. And to me, I really thought that the focus should be back on the podcasts that I've made.
Right.
And I felt like it was a little bit like, okay, so maybe you had a huge listenership, but I felt like that podcast series ended prematurely. And I felt like that people would be disappointed. I mean, like, what's the point of having a large audience if it's going to be over so quick? And then you were very upset with that take.
Listen, it's not something that we talk about a lot, but I do think that you have kind of this sort of weird jealousy complex that manifests itself in unhealthy ways. And I think it's potentially threatening not just our friendship, but our partnership, our collaboration.
Okay, well, then you asked me to take the tweet down. And so I took it down on Saturday night. So there we stand. And that is the current state of our relationship.
But I think the thing is that nobody's listening to this part of the podcast anyway, because everybody just skips to the wand off now. That like I'd feel comfortable if you wanted to like say what you had deleted as your tweet right now here on this part of the podcast.
Do you want to talk about the real tweet, Josh?
Oh, you mean the fact that the greatest tweet of all time was tweeted and then subsequently deleted over the
yes.
weekend? Is that what you're talking
about? Post-Survivor social media segment that a lot of people ended up catching this tweet on Saturday night from Bradley Kligge. And
it's Kligge!
Kligge?
It's, I know, I'm surprised too, but it's Kligge.
Are you sure?
I'm positive. I know it's Kligge. Believe me, it's Kligge. I spent a lot of time trying to figure this one out. It's Kligge. We don't want Bradley to be listening to this podcast and going, they can't even pronounce my name right. And it's Kligge, not Kligge.
It's not
getting
even that hard to pronounce. I don't even understand why this is an issue.
Okay. Getting dirt all over my last name.
Yeah. And so the tweet came out Saturday night. It's funny. At Michael Yerger is getting so much credit as the player of the episode. He tried, quote unquote, to make a big move. And it didn't work. That's like having a big
NSFW alert. NSFW alert.
Phallus, but prematurely ejaculating. Your partner's not going to give you credit for what could have been CC at Mike Zahalski.
And then Mike Zahalski, I do believe, like, literally tweeted back to me. Like, I did not ask to be involved.
It was
in
the one time Dr. Mike was like, get me out of here. I don't want any part of this.
Like, when Dr. Mike is distancing himself from your social media output, maybe you have a regrettable situation on your hands.
Dr. Mike is like, not good, not good.
Like, that's telling you something.
I'm out.
I'm out. Pull the ripcord. This is not safe. And Dr. Mike knows a thing or two about safety. So spectacular yes. display.
And
from
then that tweet was taken down, and we don't know whether that was Bradley's discretion that got in the way, or if Michael wanted it down, or if somebody got a hold of him.
Unbelievable. I can't wait to find out, like, the full story of that someday. You got to imagine that that's going to be, unless something really crazy happens with him, like, throughout the season, and it is young. This feels to me like a top five baby question to ask him in the inevitable exit interview with Bradley Klage.
Yes. All right.
What happened that night? Where were you? What were you thinking? Do you regret the decision, or do you wish that it was still there for archival purposes? I mean, it's still out there.
Yes. Yes. And maybe you could do the oral history of this one day.
Careful. Curious choice of words.
Yeah.
We'll see. We'll see how that all goes. But no, Bradley Klage continuing to be like the Johnny of Cobra Kai of Survivor Ghost Island. Spectacular stuff. Really, really terrific, and really makes me regret that we didn't get any confessionals from this guy in the first 2 hours.
Okay. Josh, so let's talk about what's going on here in the world of Survivor. So many stories we're following in this really fun season, and you're loving the ghost, right?
I'm loving the ghost. It's so ghost. This season is a ghost.
Yes, so ghost. And so we had a really great episode, and we've been talking so much on the podcast about that tribal council. What could have, should have happened? Did you have any thoughts on that?
Michael's move. I mean, look, I think that you guys have come up with a bunch of ideas that are very creative for how Michael could have played that differently. My understanding of it is that Michael came up with that plan like 5 minutes before tribal council. For an 18-year-old kid who is coming up with a bluff like that and as committed to the bluff as he was, I felt like he did a great job. I think if you can pick it apart all you want. Then I think that there's certainly plenty of different ways that that could have played out, and, you know, better ways that it could have played out in their benefit. If you're talking about, you know, telling Sebastian or Chelsea that we're coming after you instead, that's great. But just in terms of like sheer entertainment value, and in terms of Michael kind of just not, I wouldn't even say like breaking out of his shell, because I feel like Michael has been at least somewhat impressive figure on this season already up to this point. Yeah, I mean, for show. But I think in terms of like his strategic chops and just showing that he's, you know, smarter than the average 18-year-old, or at least, he's a very clever kid who is posing as a 23-year-old man. I thought that it was a great, great display. I thought it was a really fun use of the James Clement idol. I don't know. I mean, I'm glad that the James idol still has its stink on it. That means that thing, you know, can come back for whenever Survivor decides to go back to Ghost Island again. So I loved the whole thing. You know, just in terms of like pure entertainment value, I thought it was terrific. I thought it was another great tribal council of what's shaping up to be a really great season.
Okay. Now, Josh, you were the person who branded Brendan Shapiro as this generation's Hunter Ellis once upon a time. In first one out, and you did put that curse on him, Josh.
You think it was me? I'm the one who's responsible for this?
Yes.
Well, okay, if that's true, then Brendan Shapiro, a few weeks from now, when we're all together in Los Angeles for the finale, seek me out. I owe you a beer. I couldn't get you one at Loser's Lodge, but I can get you one at like wherever the after party is going to be. Because if that's true, that sucks, and I'm sorry. But I had only called him the alternate universe Hunter Ellis because he was close to getting on the show in Survivor Marquesas, applying for season 4. He was about the same age as Hunter was back then. Got to imagine that it's Hunter that takes Brendan's spot. And it is very strange that, like, close to 2 decades later, Brendan makes it onto Survivor. And he outperforms Hunter Ellis, at least, but only by one tribal council.
Yes.
And makes it the same length of time on the show in terms of 3 weeks of Hunter Ellis, 3 weeks of Brendan Shapiro. Not enough Brendan Shapiro for my liking. I was very sad to see him go. I thought that that was a real bummer to see Brendan go that way.
Yes, it was a real bummer. And Josh, that I also have something else that's eerie to tell you about here for Ghost Island.
Do tell.
So going back to this past week and this week in Survivor history, specifically, Jordan Kalish, the esteemed
captain
host
of the Kangaroos.
Yes, of Kalish Kangaroos.
Yes.
That he wanted to talk about but was unable to because Nick Iadanza, who took me on in This Week in Survivor History, the quiz, had not yet seen the episode, but it was 16 years ago on a week just like this when the real Hunter Ellis got voted out of this game.
Was it the same exact day? Like, was it the same?
It was the same day, but it was the same week.
Wow. That's crazy. Although I guess it makes sense.
Ghost.
I guess it makes sense because, you know, they're both the spring seasons and they air roughly around the same time. So I guess it's not that crazy.
It's a little crazy. A little bit.
It's, you know, it's a little factoid. It's a little bit of a, you know,
yeah, so
March 14th, 2018 for Brendan Shapiro. And what is the date for, let's see, let's quickly look up No Pain, No Gain, March 13, 2002, mm-hmm. Was when Hunter Ellis went. So it was, a, you know, 16 years and 5 days separation.
Okay, but the same week.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. Okay. So, Josh, you know, we've spent a lot of time on the podcast talking about that tribal council, but we have not spent a lot of time talking about what's been going on at Naviti, who were really dominating in terms of the screen time in the previous week. And I would love to get your take on some of what was going on over there. And we've had this for the first time in this game, this cross tribal alliance beginning to form with Laurel and Donathan talking with Dominic and Wendell. Do you like what you're seeing over there?
Well, you know, I don't know that it's necessarily what I would have predicted would be happening. I felt like the move to get rid of Morgan was designed probably to, you know, team up with Chris and Angela. So it's unexpected in that way, but I do think that what it's bearing out is that they've caused so much discord within the original Naviti, currently at Naviti Beach, that the people in Malolo are capable of going whichever way they want right now. Really, it's like, you know, the pick of the litter for them. So that's awesome. If this is an alliance that bears out, if we're talking about like Dominic and Donathan and Laurel and Wendell making it, like making some kind of like deep run into the game, yeah, sign me up. That sounds like a really fun wrecking crew. Things typically don't work out so happily on Survivor. So I'm guessing that something wrong will transpire in this developing foursome. But I think like even the bigger thing for me was there was so much focus on Naviti in the first portion of this episode that when they came back and unexpectedly won that immunity challenge, I was just floored because I think that we are trained as Survivor fans to like expect the fact that Malolo had almost no airtime, if they had any airtime at all before the immunity challenge, you would just think that they're not in trouble. There's no way. And for them to be going to tribal council after that, I thought was yet another instance of the so-called Survivor gods messing with the viewers this season. I love it. I think it's great.
The only problem with that was that there was a lot of stuff from the next time on Survivor featuring that Malolo group. And I was looking at the clock and I was trying to figure out, like, what are they going to do? That is it going to be that Naviti's going to tribal council, but we'll check back in at Malolo post them winning a challenge, which is rare on Survivor.
You know what? I'm really trying not to watch the previews anymore.
Oh,
I think that that's probably a happier way to watch Survivor, because I do think that sometimes the previews can tip you off to things that you would not have been looking for otherwise. I find that I have a happier, healthier viewing experience of Survivor if I just like close each week after Tribal Council. You know, if it just ends there, I guess you missed the final words. You could seek those out probably. But I feel like the preview, I'm okay. I'll live without the preview.
Okay. Well, since we're talking outside the box, should the show get rid of the previews?
Ooh, I feel like that's probably not a great idea for the show at large. I think it's more for the people who really watch Survivor on such a granular level, because I think that we are trained to read so much into every little thing. That's what happens when there are 1,000 podcasts about a single episode of Survivor, that you're really looking for every single clue. But I think that the bulk of the Survivor viewership, the people who don't seek out podcasts or exit interviews or recaps or whatever, but just tune in on Wednesday night, I don't think that they're looking at, like, an episode has Malolo scenes that have not yet occurred heading into the immunity challenge and are suddenly like, hey, wait a minute, I know that Naviti is going to win this one because we haven't seen this scene from Malolo. Like, I don't think that the majority of people are watching that way. And I think that the majority of people who are tuning into Survivor like to have that hook to come back for the next week. So I think just like in terms of marketing, they got to keep it in there. Mm-hmm. But I think for us, and maybe harder for you since you do so many of these podcasts per week, but for me, I feel like it's just better to stay away from it as much as I can.
Okay, so going back to those four Malolo tribe members or original Malolo tribe members that are at Naviti, how do you see the alliances there? Do you think that Laurel and Donathan are a pair, or do you think that we were just seeing two members of that group of four carrying out a plan?
I feel like it's possible. I feel like, you know, one of the first things that I experienced when I was at Malolo Beach was Laurel and Donathan going off for a really long walk and like talking to each other. And I don't really know exactly what they were saying, but they were like bonding over fruit and they were just like kind of hanging out separately from the rest of the group. And I remember watching them and thinking like, this would be a fun pair. This would be a fun alliance to have on the show. And I feel like through these first few episodes, it seems like it's bearing out in that direction. I don't know that it's like Laurel and Donathan are calling the shots within this, you know, this Malolo 4 over here at Naviti. Like, it seems like it's still a little bit more of a committee in that regard. But in terms of who's closest with who on this tribe, it does feel to me like it's Laurel and Donathan.
Yeah, because in last week's episode, we had such a focus on James and what he's thinking, and he looked as though he was sort of the shot caller in that group. But then it doesn't even look like he is consulted on that decision of, hey, let's talk to Wendell and Donathan.
Right. And I think to me, like, clearly James has made it clear that he is wary of Dominic, that he thinks that this guy is Russell Hantz 2.0 and can't be trusted. And that's the big impetus behind the move that is made against Morgan. So if Laurel and Donathan are thinking that Wendell and Dominic are better people for them to work with, they already know where James stands on all of that. So it would not be in their interest, I think, to really try and convince James that this is the right way to go. Although I don't know, the Malolos can't fracture, right? You know, like they can't afford to fracture with three of their own out of the game already this early on. So it's interesting. I'll be really curious to see how much further this bears out. Like, if there really does become this new foursome of Wendell and Dominic and Laurel and Donathan, as much as I love those players individually and as much as I would love that group together, I feel like it would be a dangerous move to move against like James and Libby, or to vote to work with the people that James and Libby clearly are kind of, you know, a little bit standoffish towards.
Now, how are you feeling about the potential buddy cop duo of Dominic and Wendell? Could you see a new CBS drama featuring these two?
I mean, it doesn't take a lot, right? You know.
Yes. Would you be willing to check that one out?
Of course. Yeah. If it's literally Dominic and Wendell, yes. If it's like anybody else who is like playing those roles, then no. Mm-hmm. But I would watch the Dominic and Wendell spinoff. Why not? I've got nothing else going on.
Yeah, I think that they would be interesting at solving crimes together. Dominic is like the, you know, a street smart construction worker, whereas Wendell is more of the Penn.
I think that's right.
It's not Ivy League, but has like the more prestigious education, went to law school, but is a furniture maker. Put them together. Who knows what crimes they could solve?
It makes sense to me that they've bonded together. I mean, they built that shelter together.
Yes, you know, it was a metaphor for their alliance.
You know, it was Wendell and Dominic. They built that shelter together. They dug coal together, as we would say on the Justified podcast, RIP. So, you know, like
how
I feel
Jessica
like,
did last season.
Yes. A different kind of coal, a different sort of material, although very rocky as well.
Hey,
Oh, welcome back, Rocky. Oh my God, we're all over the place. Yeah, I like them. I like them a lot together. I think they're fun. And you know, like, Dominic has been kind of outside the box with his idol stuff, and that has been hit or miss, and it seems like it's mostly been miss. But I kind of liked the move this week to share what he, you know, that he's got this idol with Laurel in this kind of attempt to build trust and be like somewhat open. And I think like recognizing within Laurel that this is somebody who, I'm going to trigger one particular listener, first one out right now, that game respects game. It seems like, with these two contestants. And I think him recognizing that, like, if I can open up to her that this is something that I have, and this is something that we could use together, this might be something that gives me a little bit more of an edge, or at least buys me some more time during this really difficult moment in the game. So I actually liked it this week. I thought that it was a wise move for him to tell Laurel about the idol.
Yeah, and Chris is a little bit of a forgotten man now at this point in the game, where, you know, we sort of expected him to come back and be sort of this heralded return to Naviti, but after the bonds that Laurel and Donathan made in this episode, it does kind of feel like that Chris has that target back on his, you know, chiseled back once again, Josh.
Yeah, here's the problem, though. I want nothing to happen to Chris Noble ever. I want Chris Noble to be on my TV screen. Even after Survivor Ghost Island ends, I want there, like, forget the Dominic and Wendell show. I just want there to be, like, Chris Noble's just, like, standing there on television screen every Wednesday night for the rest of time. So I love Dominic and Wendell. I want nothing to happen to them. And I love Chris Noble, and I want nothing to happen to him. I don't know. I guess I just don't want Naviti to go back to tribal council, even though that seems like that would be so much more interesting. But I think that the people on that tribe, like, I don't want anyone to get hurt. It's a dilemma. It's a dilemma.
Okay. Let me give you a true or false statement, though, Josh. Chris Noble has provided more entertainment in First One Out than he has in 4 hours of Survivor Ghost Island.
True. Sure. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah,
I think so.
He really hasn't done anything that's been that interesting on the show.
We need to get him rapping on the show like he did on First One Out. Like, if we get to hear like one of Chris Noble's epic raps, then I think we're in good shape. When he's the noble one, when he channels that persona.
Yeah.
I think that's the thing that we need. No, I think that the surprise of Chris Noble, as he's been portrayed on the show, is like, he's definitely portrayed as like arrogant, like the whole like, I like you, I like you, I like myself. Yeah, but not super wacky. Not like, you know, he's not talking about banana flavored Laffy Taffy. You know, that job is going to, you know, to the erstwhile Captain Jack Sparrow. So it would be nice to see a little bit more of that. Like, I do think that he's being taken very seriously, but I just know what that potential is for the full goofy noble. They say you never want to go full goofy noble, but I think we want to go full goofy noble.
Yeah. Okay. I want to talk to you about Kellen.
The peanut butter and jelly sandwiches?
Well, we can talk about that. You want to talk about peanut butter and jelly sandwiches?
I thought that looked delicious.
Way too much bread for peanut butter and jelly?
You know what? I've never had a peanut butter and jelly sandwich on like a huge honking loaf of bread.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like I'd be up for trying it now. Like, it looks like, you know, like if it's like a really pillowy bread, you know, that could be fun. It could be like a real gut bomb. So like you're not gonna do much for the rest of the day. But I don't do much anyway. So,
all right. So Josh, let's talk about, for the first time in history, you and I have the same winner pick for a season, and she ended up being the person who got sent to Ghost Island in this episode.
That was so ghost.
She announced that it was going to be her biggest fear. And I have a clip from Kellen announcing this.
My biggest survivor fear.
Is it really? Kellen, the spirits are listening. You may be headed to ghost.
You may be headed to ghost.
You may be headed to ghost. Oh my God, Probst already a breathing Ghost Island. I like it.
Do you like Ghost?
It's better than calling it GI, I think. Don't think we want to be calling it that.
don't call it GI. They didn't call Exile Island EI. They didn't call Redemption Island RI.
Yeah, well, we don't know, but we called it Red Eye, right?
Yeah,
I don't think we ever really abbreviated Exile Island. I think we've called it probably Exile, but I don't think we've ever called it XI. Okay. XI feels like a real hard abbreviation when it's already going to be Exile and you're just like cutting off the L. Like, Just say the full thing.
Yeah. So Jeff is saying you could be headed to Ghost.
Yeah. This is Ghost. Yeah. This is Ghost. This is the Ghost. Do we need to give Ghost Island obviously it's called Ghost Island, but does it need a nickname that's a little more distinct?
The spooky playground?
Yeah, but it is, that's a mouthful too. I don't know. Do you want to call it Gary?
Yeah.
Want to give it a first name?
Why Gary?
I don't know. Gary Hoga. I don't know. Gary Ghost a Boom. I don't know. I was just throwing out a name, any name. I mean, I guess Boo would be appropriate.
Yeah. It has to be a Survivor name.
And it's, Survivor Fiji too. So I feel like that works.
Hammering that snout down. Starting on his second snout.
I can't believe you still have that on standby. Sometimes just to go a little bit inside Schmergenbrawl, as you so famously coined the other week to the listeners of this podcast, where all of this will play very seamlessly. Oftentimes, you'll be like, hold on, wait a second, I got it. And you're like,
oh, what are you pulling back the curtain?
Yeah. I'm pulling back the curtain just a little bit. And you'll take sometimes as long as a minute to find a clip, and you're kind of just sitting there just twiddling your thumbs while you're waiting for Rob to do his magical thing. There was no cutaway time on you pulling out the clip of Gary Papa Smurf horfing down snouts from Survivor Fiji. You just have that on the go. You have that ready to rip at any given time.
We have extensive records here at RHAP.
It's amazing.
It's a lot.
It's a lot. Yeah. All right. Anyway, Gary the Ghost.
Yeah. So Kellen went to Gary's, AKA Ghost. And so she talked about how that she had a moment out there. And it was a moment of her deciding not to play in the game. She felt like that was the right call for her game. But she had a nice moment in the episode, Josh.
I like that too, and I do think that this is one thing that I'm enjoying about Ghost Island that maybe is not something that everybody is enjoying, but I kind of like these, quieter moments where you're getting some character development from these players. Like, in the case of Jacob, there wasn't, I felt a ton of character development, because it was still sort of just, building to that contained arc that he was going to be gone within the premiere. But I feel like we got a lot of great stuff from the Donathan visit. I really enjoyed Chris's visit, and I've enjoyed Kellen's visit as well, and I'm hoping that these are people who are going to go deep into the game, and now you're going to feel more invested in them because you know a little bit about their backstory. That Donathan is kind of subverting everything that he's lived through in his life to go off on this incredibly big adventure. You know what Chris is fighting for. You know what Kellen has just gone through. Does it eat up a little bit of the time that could be spent on strategy, especially if there's no game in play? Sure, but I think it's worth it for the character building. I think, for me, more and more, that's really the stuff here on Survivor that's really making it pop this season for me. So I love it. I thought it was great. I thought her decision to not play the game, while disappointing on one level because you wanted to see another game in action, although really it was just pick a bamboo again. I think it was just, it was the wiser move, and ultimately for the former Navitis that are on Malolo, it ended up being a really invaluable move.
Josh, why do you feel like Survivor changed that she was not going to miss a tribal council where the first three people that went to Gary ended up missing a tribal council?
I don't know that Gary is going to catch on. We'll see. Well, stranger things have happened here in the Wiggle Room. I think they just want to keep them on their toes. You go to reward and suddenly now somebody's being sent to Gary's house. And now there's a shock there because you were just planning on it happening a day later. So I wouldn't be surprised if they keep switching it up. I feel like they just want Ghost Island to be a surprise.
Yeah. So do you think that Ghost Island at Gary, that it could be there, people could be there for the tribal council now going forward? Do you think that they changed it permanently?
If we're calling Ghost Island Gary, does it make more sense to call it Papa Ghost?
Papa Ghost.
I don't know.
Okay.
Just give it all the nicknames Daenerys Targaryen. I feel like it's the way to go.
So,
sorry, you were saying something actually intelligent and I don't remember what it was.
Let's not get carried away. But do you think that we will see Survivor continue to play with whether or not the person stays at Papa Ghost during the tribal council?
Yeah, you know what? Here's my maybe hot take prediction. I feel like it's not impossible that the tribes will merge at Papa Ghost's. I feel like Ghost Island could just become the house of the season. So like that's like the level, like I doubt that that will actually happen, but I feel like that's like the level to which I feel like they could be playing around with this place of just like really trying to be as unexpected as possible with Ghost Island.
So you think that Ghost Island could be the merge camp?
I think it's possible. I don't think it's impossible.
How big is that bed?
It's probably not big enough for like, what is it going to be like 14 people that end up merging, you know, given the pace of the game right now. It's a snug fit. It would be a snug fit.
But it would be a real FU from all of the people that were saying this season, like, oh my God, did you see how much rice Donathan is making? Where it was like, oh no, that was all of your rice for after the merge. You guys ate it all on Papa Ghost.
Wouldn't that be incredible? That Papa Ghost just like snorfed down all of that rice. Like Papa Smurf with the snouts.
Yeah, so pretty incredible. We'll see if ultimately what the Survivor gods have up their sleeve. Now, Josh, also this week, this was a coming out party of sorts for Chelsea. A lot of people were talking about how, is she ever going to talk? And boy, right. She was able to come out in a big way in this episode, Josh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like you're being like, well, not really.
I mean, there was a little bit of Chelsea in the episode. That was nice.
Yeah.
That was nice. I thought Chelsea was so sweet and wonderful in the preseason. She just still hasn't really shown up on the TV. Okay. I think that happens.
Well, I think you're completely underselling her big moment from the tribal council. I know that she sat out of the challenge, but then she ended up being a big part of the vote. And actually, Michael made this pitch to her at the tribal council. I thought she had this amazing response from this week's episode.
Here to play.
I do agree with you.
Chelsea, this is an extended arm for you as well.
I have seen the path to victory in the flames. But first, you must give yourself to the Lord of Lust.
For the night is dark and full of terrors.
Oh my God.
I guess I somehow missed the shadow smoke monster that consumed everybody
that was
at Tribal
so intense.
Castle. Yeah, I missed that. I don't know. I must have just been like looking away and doing something else.
Yeah.
I don't know how I missed the red woman in this episode.
Yeah, she was right there.
Oh, my God.
Michael's like, hey, come join me. She's like, no, I see the path to victory in the flames. What are you talking about?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not going to switch with you.
Just watch out for any leeches. That's when I've... that's what Michael's really
does Michael
trouble.
Have the king's blood?
He might have the king's blood. It's possible. Just be very careful of any leeches. That's when it's really going to get tricky here on Survivor Ghost Island.
So yeah, good for Chelsea, who has made her first major appearance on the season.
Josh, what happens if Chelsea takes off her buff? Like, does Chelsea change like shape, form? It's really, just to clarify, it's a Game of Thrones joke. It's about the character that we're joking about right now. That's mm-hmm. really it.
Yeah. Okay. Josh, so I want to talk a little bit more about the Bradley versus Brendan versus Malolo rivalry. Because it really has been very fun, right?
It's been delightful. It's been so great. It's been a blast.
Yeah.
I'm having such a good time with it. It's very funny.
Yeah. Because Survivor, I feel like, has potentially a villain with tremendous upside here in Bradley.
You have been very high on Bradley as like a character on the show. We were doing like a little bit of like pregame banter the other day before we were recording a different podcast. I forget exactly what you said, what your take on Bradley was. Can you pull that back right now?
Yeah, I think that we are potentially very fortunate to have this character on the show because Survivor has, over the past couple of seasons, has given us some scoundrels. But they have not really given us a rootable villain. And what I mean by that is that Bradley is just like a total a-hole douche out there.
Yeah.
But
he is cabin douche.
Right. Right. He's like a jerk and a major complainer, but he has not demonstrated him to be anything of a misogynist or somebody who has any problem with any particular group of people. He is just horrible to the people that he's playing with, and not in any sort of an abusive way, other than he's just kind of a jerk about it. And I think that there's a fine line there between the two things.
You know, we're only four tribal councils in the Survivor Coast Island.
Who knows where
it
goes?
What have you just put out to the universe?
Yes.
Reverse the curse. So you think he's reversing the villain curse right now? Like he is giving us somebody to root against who isn't just like, I don't know, kind of vile.
Right. But there's a difference between love to hate and just hate. And so I think he has love to hate upside.
Hmm. Yeah, I think that's a good take. I think that there's a lot there. Like, this is obviously, he came into the show, like, sort of with that attitude. Like, Bradley was definitely prickly, to use a word, in the preseason, where he was kind of a bit of a shit. Like, I could tell, like, this guy, like, could, like, potentially be, like, really great at this game and really do everything that he is saying he wants to do. Or he could, potentially just be like a Joffrey, you know, or somewhere in between, like somewhere in between those two extremes. And so far, like I do, you know, like we've made like the Anakin Skywalker joke. Like I feel a little bit of that, like the petulant Padawan who wants to be like a Jedi Knight before his training is over. It's fun. It's been fun. It's been really fun to root against him. And root against him, I shall continue to.
Yeah. And at some point, like if he gets his comeuppance, it'll be fantastic television.
Delicious. Yeah. You know, like it really is. Those are great.
And if he wins, that'll be great too.
That will be incredibly crazy. Yeah. I think whatever ride we're in for, I'm really hoping that it continues to be like kind of as fun as it's been the past couple of weeks of like, you know, of the hater of sand, you know, as long as that guy is around, I feel like it should be a good time. He's left a sandy crater of an impact in his short time on Survivor Ghost Island so far.
Yeah. Let me play a couple other quotes from the episode since we're on this subject. I thought that this was pretty funny from his exchange with Stephanie talking about, is there anything that Stephanie or the Malolos could do?
Speak to me.
Five, four.
Oh, I know that. I know, but I want to say.
We shall see.
We shall see. So condescending.
Very passive aggressive.
Even
yeah.
if, like, come on, it's 5-4. What do you want?
Yeah, it's what do you want me to do here? Like, you know the score. You know what's about to happen here. Yeah, it's great. Just like kind of like staring down the glasses at her and everything. It's just like . Like I said, he's like the Johnny of Cobra Kai. Like, it's just, you want to see that guy swan kicked hard.
Yeah. This is another clip of Bradley talking about Brendan, about how he's not a threat.
Brendan is not dangerous. He's docile. He's a little annoying.
Docile.
Do you think that it's possible that is the first time the word docile has been used on Survivor, much like the phrase media res was used for the first time on the podcast a week ago?
I believe
you think that it's
first time docile is used on Rob's podcast.
Well, that's for sure. That's not a surprise. Yeah. That's not a shock. Bradley, freaking Bradley with
He's
his
docile.
Big words. It is. It's just such an a-hole, and it's great. It is really great. It's really funny. Yeah.
And then one other thing, and this I thought was an interesting quote, and I'd love to get your take about this in terms of, you know, we're following the story of the season. I thought that this was an interesting quote that they left in there in terms of Bradley.
He's like a dad who gives terrible pep talks, which is fine. He can lead people because the leader never wins.
He's the leader. The leader never wins. Now, Josh, that in terms of the evolution of strategy and, you know, going back and watching all these seasons, I feel like that Survivor doesn't give us these quotes by accident when they do it. And this looks like something, and I don't know exactly what it means, but I feel like at the end of the season, we're going to go back to this quote and it will have significance.
It might not be, you know, you... I feel like what it tells me, Bradley being sort of the leader of the Naviti people over at Malolo, is that almost kills his shot for me. Mm-hmm. Like that feels like such a it would really be odd for him to say something like that, to be framed as the leader of the Naviti Alliance on Malolo right now, and for that guy to go on to win. So I think in terms of like his arc, that feels like that spells something out to me. But I think that that's an interesting point that you're bringing up in terms of sort of just like the wider general overall arc of the season. Like, are we going to see some sort of coalition come together where, you know, like the leader is really, you know, pulling the wagon and somehow gets thrown off the cart at the final tribal council or before final tribal council? Or will we see some sort of situation where like multiple hopeful leaders will emerge only for all of them to get snuffed along the way? Definitely something to track. I think that that's a good poll that you put out there right now.
Because it could go either way. Because there could be significance that a leader does win the game. It doesn't mean that Bradley will win because he's identified himself as the leader. And because, you know, if Bradley is being set up as this character who is often wrong about things, I think that would be very interesting in retrospect if a leader does go on to win the game, because Bradley says leaders never win the game.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, now it's just open to interpretation no matter what.
Yes, like all prophecy.
Yes, indeed. That's right. Yes. You want to bring Melisandre back?
We'll see. We'll see what Chelsea has to say.
Chelsea-sandra.
Okay. Josh, anything else about this episode before we begin to discuss that other thing that we like to talk about on the Wiggle Room?
Let's get to the other thing that everybody's here for.
Okay. That other thing, canvaspeople.com.
Yes.
This episode is sponsored by our great friends at canvaspeople.com.
Yes. Can I briefly interrupt you as you're about to go into the Canvas People ad? So you had Allie Elliott on the podcast for the recap show, and you guys talked a bit about Canvas People, and you talked about the Jadis from the Walking Dead Canvas People artwork that you have on your wall, and Allie seemed to like know exactly what's going on with the garbage people on The Walking Dead right now. Is Allie a Walking Dead fan?
Yes, she loves it.
Amazing.
She's very into it. Of course, so many great pictures. We all have them on our phones. So many people want to take pictures with Josh Wiggler this past Thursday night. So many people want to commemorate them. What can you do? Canvaspeople.com. They're going to help you turn those photos of either you and Josh Wiggler or whatever and turn them into beautiful works of art. And they've got a great offer for our listeners. You can get an 11x14 canvas people photo for $0 pricing, ghost $0 pricing.
Wow.
You just pay the shipping. It's a $69.99 value. All you do is pay the shipping and the handling. So it's a fantastic deal. I think my wife herself has made over 1 million canvas photos herself on canvaspeople.com.
Wow.
Give or take. Give or take 900,000. Yeah.
Cool mill.
Yeah. So go ahead and check it out. Easy to do. Just go ahead, upload your photo, use that promo code RHAP on the 11x14 photo size, and you are in business. It's a limited offer for our listeners. Go to canvaspeople.com, use promo code RHAP to get your free print.
I definitely plan on using Canvas People to make a Canvas People photo, framed photo out of the Ghostbusters Photoshop that was done for us as we had put out into the universe last week.
Oh, yes. That was pretty amazing. That was by the great Chris Borzilieri. And he had you were Ray. That one was decided.
That was easy.
Steven Fishback was Egon. He never commented on it. I don't know if either he just was like,
he probably thought he was being like made fun of or something.
This is not happening. Yeah. I don't want to be in the picture with Rob and Josh that out of this.
And he does not want a canvas people photo.
Yes. And I was Venkman, like everybody agreed to. And Mike Bloom was Slimer.
This is Wanda, and you're in my arena if you need to. You can straight up leave here. It would make me so happy for the rest of my life if you'd shut the shirk up and just eat your damn rice. It's the Wanda. It's the Wanda forever if you need to. You can straight up leave here, but it'll make you so happy for the rest of your life if you turn the songs up and turn out to me nice. You ought to know right now before you go any further. It's the Wanda. It'll be here forever.
Spectacular. Yeah. Mike Bloom as Slimer was just so good. It was the funniest thing that I've
Wait,
seen.
Have you been talking about this the whole time that the Wandoff song was on?
No, I just thought I'd finish the thought after the song.
Yes, okay. Yeah, great job there. But it's Wandoff time, everybody.
Wanda time is here.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm very pumped. I feel like the Wandoff has been hot for the first 2 weeks of the podcast this season, and I cannot wait to see what fiery tracks you have brought our way today.
Yeah, the Wandoff has been hot that we got another over 50 entries into the Wandoff again this week.
Madness.
The patrons Madness. March Madness. Of Rob as a podcast have been enjoying a bunch of selects, the top five, the honorable mentions, and more on our Wandoff SoundCloud account, which we have been making available to all of the patrons of Rob as a Podcast. So for information on that, go to robiswebsite.com/patron or be on the lookout for it in the Rob as a Podcast Facebook group at this
do you
hour.
Have this,
yes, Josh.
Do you have this feeling? Do you have this feeling that putting the Wandoff into something as widely used as SoundCloud is like the beginning of a Skynet level event? Like, could we be looking at Judgment Day with Wanda playing the role of Skynet?
It's possible. That is possible. At this hour, there are 25 tracks from episode number 4 of Survivor Ghost Island up on the patron only Wandoff playlist.
It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. It's an incredible thing. This is a fantastic thing and a great thing. And it makes me as happy as Papa Smurf just horfing down snouts.
Okay. All right, Josh. We have some business to take care of from last week. We had our big Wandoff, our top five battle. The listeners went to the polls and they voted, and they voted in mass. And we had a huge victory for one of the songs in the Wandoff last week. People went to robhasthewebsite.com/votewanda. The tabulator tabulated all the results. In third place, it was Becky and Taylor with Can't Trust the Blonde Girls.
Mm.
In second place, it was the trio of Aaron Robertson, Jordan Kalish, and Amy Howard with the Morgan Ricky situation.
Valiant effort from the Kangaroos.
And perhaps the biggest blowout that we've had in the history of the Wandoff with 66.7% of the vote. The champion, DJ LaBelle Klein, came back with his first entry of Ghost Papa Ghost Island.
Yes.
With Say Something.
Maybe CBS fired their graphics crew.
I plan on trying to play the most positive game I can. Coming out here and just becoming a butterfly.
Say something, I will subtitle you.
Oh, I'm just ecstatic of all the support that I've received.
And you?
Yes.
I heard a lot of feedback from people who were like, I was driving and I had to pull over when that came on. So not surprised to see DJ LaBelle Klein come off of his final Wandoff win and win his first week and become deputized as part of Wombat's Nation officially. Should he choose to accept a hat, it is his.
If he chooses to accept it. Okay.
Yes.
All right. But let's get to this week's main event, Josh Wiggler. Okay, we will bring in the esteemed host of the Wandoff, the great Casey Kasem.
Rob, it's a pleasure to be back with you and the great Josh Wiggler.
Casey's still rocking the Wombat's hat, looking great, looking so smart, looking so sharp. You are just a picture of delight, a canvas people picture of paradise.
Very exciting to be back here for episode 40.
We're not at week 40 yet, though. That's the real important one.
This week's first honorable mention comes to us from DJ DI Beats, who has a message about this week's booted survivor.
Never mind, you're gone, hunter too. Rally wish nothing but to get rid of.
That was an instant classic by the artist Adele Campo.
Don Campo. That is a bizarre mashup. That is a strange person to just imagine in existence. But all right, let's do it. It's now in my mind and don't know if it's going anywhere anytime soon.
Up next is a listener named Nick R. And Nick R. was very impressed to see more of Chelsea this week.
Wanda shirt. It's going to give me a better idea for now and for down the line on who I really should put my trust into and which alliances are better for me.
She made the 17 by sitting up.
I'm sitting.
Chelsea's going to sit this
she
one out.
She whispered strategy. She dared not shout.
We're all talking strategy, obviously.
She got a confessional, and there's no doubt. The purple-headed wasn't here to stay. Hail Queen Chelsea.
I just want to get to the base of who everyone is. The more I can talk to them, God, the more I can get into their head.
Oh my God.
So we're a really cohesive group. Part of the game, wow, you have to be aware of what's going on.
And Stephen Fishback says this isn't a classy show.
He's not a fan of the Phantom of the Opera.
Actually, Josh, that was from the musical The Phantom of Shapara.
Man, people really riding this Andrew Lloyd Webber wave. I'm digging it. Give me more of that Andrew Lloyd Webber. I need it. We need a musical number in every single wand off this season. That's what I'm asking for.
Up next,
putting out into the universe,
we've got an honorable mention from Alex G, who was very excited to see his favorite survivor from China return to Survivor this season.
Yeah, he played an idol.
Now James Clement was a grave digger, and now he's idolized with Mike Yerger. But Bradley's acting like his babysitter. They target Purple Chelsea trying to flip her.
Michael's plea,
whose name will see Bass right down. Can they steal King Bradley's crown? Kellen's at the spooky playground. This vote's about to break down.
That's good. That was really great.
That was a hit for Kanye West Nail.
Congratulations, Kanye West Nail. I heard you just got married.
Yes.
Fantastic news. Very, very good stuff.
Okay. Number four in the honorable mentions is another song about young Michael. This one puts you from his perspective watching said Survivor China.
Oh, good.
Biggest mistake to me is telling somebody you have an idol.
I'm 8 years old for a moment. Survivor China was the season, and James got blindsided with a hidden idol. I'd soon play wrong.
I'm gonna play it for Steph.
That was really beautiful and really put me like exactly alongside young Michael Yerger on the couch all those years ago. Like I felt like I could really picture just like young Michael watching Survivor China.
Another beautiful, beautiful song by the band Fat Five for Fighting.
Oh my God, Vanuatu callback.
The listeners really loved Michael Yerger and they wanted to sing all about him. Here's Phil T with his own version about Yerger's moves. That was from Maroon 5.
You got nothing else?
Nothing else. Already used Fat Five for Fighting.
No Maroon buff to speak of.
Maroon Top 5, baby.
Yeah. Oh, my God. That song is really, really probably just like bumping in all of those clubs that Michael Yerger can't get into.
Yes. At least 5 or 6 years ago, they definitely were.
Yes. Yeah. And he definitely couldn't get in then.
Yeah. The listeners, Josh, are obsessed with Michael Yerger and how old he is. This is the latest from Abe W.
I took it out. It was a travel night. Reverse the curse and play the idol right. I took the idol out and said to Prosty that this one's for Brendan and for me. But that's about the time that I said, Stephanie, nobody knows that I'm not 23. Rihanna said that she would hit that though. Yeah, listen to the beat. Nobody thinks I look my age. Wanda, 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 wanda.
That's great. That's really funny.
Boy,
what's his age again?
Really blowing up Liana's spot. That was the latest from Blink One Itutanga.
2v2, one 2v2 didn't come through. A valiant effort, Casey.
One last song about this week's episode in the honorable mentions, and this one comes to us from the great Dave from Ohio. He's singing all about that tribal council.
You're not gonna vote me out with Michael's tribal speech. Take me to the place I love, back on the beady beach. You're not gonna vote me out. Bradley is here to stay. Nicole, it's gonna be real sad as we vote the DILF away. I hate her.
All right, who is that? Who is that? Who performed that one? I can't wait. I can't wait to see what we've got here.
That was the hit song from the Red Hot Chili Culpeppers.
I feel like we've heard from them before. I feel like that has to have happened already.
A prolific band.
Yeah.
Josh, before really we get to our top five baby, the Fat Five for Fighting, as I like to say, that there has been so much controversy about the Wiggler Wombat hat.
Oh, God. If it's shut up, Tim, just cancel it. Just cancel it. Throw it away.
I'd love to, Josh, but my producer says that it's already loaded in the machine. Here is God, Shut right. Up, Tim, with another opinion about your hat.
He was podcasting in the wiggle room late one night, and he thought he'd give the wand offers a terrible fright. He'd design a piece of headwear that everyone would despise, and then he'd offer it as first prize. Those hats are bad. Those hats are really bad. Wigglers wombats, they make me kind of sad. Wigglers wombats, some people actually desire. Those hats are bad, but if you ask me, Sandra should have burnt that in the fire.
So a few things. One is, I think that like Shut Up Tim being thumbs down on the Wombat's hat is like the greatest endorsement of the Wombat's hat you can get. So that's one. And the other thing is just like to walk it back, because I wanted you to not play this. I think that might have been Shut Up Tim's best work.
Oh.
Because like there was minimal singing, and like he's not bad with the spoken word. Like I feel like that works. That might be Shut Up Tim's deal if he does it like that. I mean, I think Shut Up Tim's deal is that he sucks, and so he probably doesn't want to go too far off brand. But if he wants to like try and be good sometimes, like I feel like the spoken word way is the way to go.
What was better, the video he made or that song?
the video he made. Well, he didn't make that video.
Who made it?
That was the great Tyler Ward of ET Canada is the person who made the video. If you guys haven't seen this yet, it's ridiculous. Of me as Kylo Ren.
A deep fake.
And then Shut Up Tim as Snoke, as Supreme Leader Snoke. We all know how that worked out. Or we don't if we didn't see The Last Jedi, in which case I apologize. So I can't wait for the sequel. But let's not try and give Shut Up Tim credit for something he didn't make. That was actually legitimately good. Yeah. And of course, that was the great work of ET Canada's Tyler Ward, who has delivered fantastic content for
ET Canada. Yes, okay. So a big shout out there to
Tyler Weicker.
No.
And look, I could really be huckstering my hats a little bit more, you know, while we're in the spirit of the Tyler Weicker father. So let me just put that up.
Okay. Now, Josh, it's time for the top five Wandoff songs in the country. People from all around the globe submitted their songs to Wiggle Room at robhasawebsite.com. And we had a big assist this week from RHAP listener Randy Newple, who was able to help us screen a number of these songs along with Jason Curtis Rivera. So a big shout out to those guys who helped Casey go through all of the Wandoffs this week. And not
Casey, why are you talking about yourself in the third person?
Papa Ghost. Our first Wandoff song comes to us from the great Wandoff legends, Shannon Gates and Will from America.
Nice, cool.
They've got a song all about Michael Yerger.
My name is Michael. You had a dream about me. It's illegal. 'Cause you know I'm only 18.
Looked under a rock. Found James' big black block. No, they don't know that I have. I'll try to use it to vote out Bradley.
'Cause I'm just a teenage Yerger, baby. Yeah, I'm just a teenage Yerger, baby. Going around and saying I'm 23.
Really funny. Oh, that's good.
That was a hit for the band Wheatus Bushkowskis.
That is spectacular. That was really, really legitimately great. Both Will and Shannon have such great voices. It's great to hear them teaming up, and that's like a very global collaboration that we're talking about.
So much talent in the Wandoff week after week. It's what everybody is saying, and that's where all of the great undiscovered artists are coming from. The Wandoff.
Artists.
The great undiscovered artist Sylvesters that are out there. Hashtag artist was right.
Yes. Unfortunately, yes.
The number two Wandoff song this week comes to us from a newcomer. His name is Corey, and he's talking all about Bradley Kahigi.
It's Kligi.
Well, my island hasn't always been this drab. My beach was grand, full of sand once. Now to Stonewall, the Malolos is the plan. Like Boston Rob or Kim Spradlin. What an awful day we lost immunity. Stephanie bleeds once to my side. Open my mouth and all I say is that we'll see. Okay, I tried. I'd rather be whiny. Like a lawyer who knows details like a pro. They all know that I can be whiny. Making people ride out hope into the sand. Isn't it grand? Answer's no. You can try, but you can't expect the Penguin team to crush attorney dreams. While I cry, I will call your pep talks really bad. Vote out the dad.
far from the ones who drive swapped from you chasing advantages that you know Kellen said no to. Don't care what you say and who said I'm in charge anyway. Michael, wait, is that the idol from China? What a day, I feel so whiny.
That was from the Disney animated film Moana Kate. Very controversial film.
Yeah, dicey. Not great. Don't follow the Twitter account.
Or beautiful. The Instagram.
Okay. Elaborate, beautiful, creative. I liked it. I liked it a lot.
The number three Wandoff song in the country comes to us by Wandoff standouts and winners of the first Wandoff of Survivor 36, JD and Leah. They've got a song about Kellen at Papa Ghost Island deciding to not play in the Ghost Island game.
5 to 4 voices of Ghost Island whisper gentle reminders of the numbers back at camp. To gamble, but her gut tells her not to, so instead she'll just hang out on the beach.
Challenge time, huge lead.
But suddenly Malolo falls apart. Bradley thinks he's Boston Rob as they plan to go to travel, and all his ducks are in a row. But then Michael has a medal, and he vows that he can use it twice. Holy crap, this might work. Sebastian is the swing vote, but he still doesn't know. So maybe Traffic Chelsea turns out she's on the show. They really put up a fight. Mike and Brandon are safe tonight.
I mean,
Anthony's safe tonight.
Once upon a time, there was hope in the sand. Brandon is what five of them wrote. There's nothing they could do.
A beautiful ballad from the great Bonnie Tyler Fredrickson. So funny on the voicemails this week.
Oh, it's a shame Tyler Fredrickson's not listening to the Wandoffs, because I think he would have really enjoyed that. That's funny. That was really great. That was really, really wonderful.
The fourth entry into the Wandoff this week comes to us by another longtime Wandoff standout. Becky and Taylor are back to talk about just how low things can get for one tribe.
Just gonna go with the flow, because the Malolo can go no further Lolo than the Malolo low.
Speaking of Anna Kate.
Malolo tribe is ruled by old Naviti. Brandon gives them pep talk just like he's teaching P.E. Lucky Michael found James Idol, but there is just one. At Tribal, he bluffs double powers. Can he pull it off? Oh, no. Malolo, low. Malolo, low, low.
Check out C-Bass. He got a hashtag.
Whoa, 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 no. Whoa, 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 no.
Listen to us. We're in the Wanda.
There's no lower than Malolo.
Brandon's gone, cause Michael played games as idol wrong.
No one left to give them pep talks.
Pep talk.
It's not me.
What Wiggler's Wombat's hat, Wiggler's Wombat's hat.
Give it to us.
I like when the Wombat's hat is getting baked into the lyrics. It's really fun. I don't know. This is great. This is all hilarious.
That was a hit for Neat Lady Gaga.
Yeah, man. Return of Poker Face from the original run of the Wiggle Room. Yeah, Lady Wawa had been DJing the Anna Kate going away party, if you'll recall. Mm-hmm. Lady Wawa would really like that scrubbed from the resume at this point.
And then our fifth and final entry into this week's Wand Off, that there is a collaboration that has the unique distinction of being second place in week one for episode one and two, and second place for episode number three. They're back. Wow. To see if they can reverse the curse. Here is Aaron Robertson, Amy Howard, and Jordan Kalish talking about this week's most recent Survivor cast off.
Oh my God!
Rob says Trinito.
Clap your hands.
Josh Wiggler.
Clap your hands.
Rob has a podcast.
Clap your hands. Everybody. Clap your hands. Aaron Robertson. Sad. Jordan Kalish.
I'm the OG music maker since 2011. And now with Amy Howard, we'll always get higher.
4 to 5, we'll survive. 7 choices, it will be a dopey fight. Get low, get low, get low, get low, 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 low. From the dirt hole. Damn, y'all chopped the ball.
The ball.
Yo, so that's a yo.
Ball.
Yo, no lower than the low.
What?
Go, no, 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 no.
One bet.
Go, no lower than the low. Go, no, 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 no.
Watch me play like him spread.
Kim spread, Kim spread.
Watch me play like Austin Rob.
I'm L.A. Brad.
Watch me play like him spread.
Kim spread, Kim spread.
Watch me play like Austin Rob.
I'm L.A. Brad.
Kelly B.
Hey, Desiree. Hey. Purple Chelsea, hey, he's in the house. Hey, let hey, him be. Hey, hey, that's a race. Hey, purple Chelsea, he's in the house. Hey, now, bet, ooh, bet, babysit. Bet, bet, babysit. Bet, bet, babysit. Bet, bet, babysit. Now stop. Oh,
Wiggler.
Now stop. Oh, then
Wiggler.
Now stop.
Oh,
then
Wiggler.
Now stop.
Oh, Wiggler.
Good.
I feel like I'm still tripping acid on Ghost Island.
Is that what happened?
Yeah, I think so. I'm become convinced that that theory is probably, it holds some weight.
That was a collaboration between Andrea Baliki and the Ying Yang Twins.
That's like the whole heroes versus villains merge tribe.
That is. That is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Josh, the listeners can go ahead and vote at robhasawebsite.com/votewanda, and they can vote once per device as per the tabulator, Kurt Clark.
Unbelievable. Can't wait to find out who is the winner of week three when we get to the wiggle room in week four.
And then a couple of retractions and clarifications. On last week's show, that I accidentally said that the song Tricky was from the Beastie Mode Cowboys, and that was incorrect.
Who was it by? Who was it by?
It was actually by Run Thunder DMC. Got a lot of tweets on that.
Yeah, it is, you know, the Spice Girls of a new generation.
And then I also misspoke when I said that there were only 25 tracks on the SoundCloud for this week's Wand Off. In fact, Josh Wiggler, there are 38 tracks currently.
Oh my God.
In the week 3/episode 4 Wand Off playlist.
That's insane.
robhasawebsite.com/patron.
It's almost as many days as there are in Survivor.
Mm-hmm. 38 tracks.
And let me just say, in the spirit of that the Barcode Island gag was remarkable.
You like that?
Yes. Quite good. Quite good. I expect that to be at the end of the year.
Okay.
Very high point. High point so far of the podcasting season. Very
all right. Fun. Thank you so much, Casey Kasem. Rob.
Thanks, Casey.
You can follow me on social media. I'm on MySpace at myspace.com/Casey Kasem. Okay, well, I don't think anybody still has MySpace, Casey, but okay.
No,
they call it MySpacey Kasem.
Reach! 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 It was a reach! Reach! A great reach, but a reach all the same. Jenna's arms could have been the only thing to compete to catch that. Oh my God.
All right.
Spectacular.
What are we doing with our lives, Josh? What's next?
Nothing.
What's
next? Nothing. It's all disaster. It's all downhill. Whenever the wand off is over, it's all downhill from there. Which is why it can never end. What are we doing next? We've got a Game of Thrones podcast that's showing up on the post-show recap.
Yes. And then, Josh, what's going on in the Wiggle Room next week?
Ooh, next week. Well, next week, as we all know, is week four.
Week four, yes.
Which is a very important week in the Wiggle Room, as established during season 35's Wanda Rotzi. And I hope that everybody has plans to celebrate this momentous occasion. I plan to celebrate by just being a listener of the Wiggle Room next week.
That was the week you requested off, right?
Yeah, I need like some time off every once in a while. Like I feel like just like a week off here and there. Week four, I'm going to get some R&R. So I will not be on the Wiggle
Room. Okay, recharge the battery. Jessica Lease will be here in the Wiggle Room with me. The Wand Off and Casey Kasem will be here as well. So make sure you get your Wiggle Room songs in. We still call it the Wiggle Room, right? Whether you're,
Jessica's leasing the Wiggle Room.
Just wanted to
For 1 week
she's
only.
Subletting.
I'm very excited. She's the best. So I can't wait to hear her takes on the season so far. And I look forward to hearing somebody else's laughter to the Wand Off tracks. I think it's gonna be a
okay. Wiggle Room at robhasawebsite.com. And then of course we've got a crazy week of podcasting on top of that coming up this week, Josh. So listen to this lineup, because we're having so much fun with Ghost Island, and we are going to be having a guest on the podcast on Thursday that we've
let me guess, you're bringing in the entire cast of Survivor Millennials versus Gen X for
kind
one
of,
sitting in the studio.
A millennial versus Gen X that we've never talked to before.
Okay.
I'm gonna talk to Figgy.
Whoa!
How about that?
Figgy! Okay. Oh my God, the Figgle Room.
Stay with me. Okay, so Figgy is going to be here. I'm going to talk to her on Thursday late afternoon.
Okay.
Then Corinne Kaplan is going to be here in person Thursday night. Not a recap.
Whoa.
Not voicemails. She didn't want to do that. She wants no pressure. So that's just bonus.
Oh, it's just additional toppings.
Yes.
You're getting like free toppings on this.
Nicole
is
scheduled to be here for that show. So
of course, nice.
Yes.
Oh my God.
Okay.
Bonus Corinne podcast. Dude, this is dangerous.
Yes. And then
I feel like this is like very, very salacious in kind of an exciting way.
And then come this weekend, that we are getting ready to go out and see him in Boston next month, but Brett LaBelle will be on the voicemails coming up next week. Because now, because too many people complain about millennials versus Gen X on the show. Now every week it's just going to be all millennials versus Gen X. From here on out.
Only guests from 33 and 35 from now until the rest of time.
That's it.
Yeah, it's going to be really, really, really great. I'm looking forward to the Alan Ball podcast.
Yes.
The Patrick Bolton cast is good.
Patrick Bolton
great.
Cast would be pretty good.
I think it'd be not as good as
Do you think so?
I don't know. Like, I think it'd be kind of funny, but I think it'd be, you'd probably want to listen in double speed would be my suggestion.
Well, what about recording?
He's kind of a slow talker. He's, very, very funny, but there's a little bit of a slow talker.
Okay. All right. Well, all great stuff. Josh, we have a hashtag for the Wiggle Room.
Papa Ghost Island.
Okay. Let's go with that. So much fun today. And of course, be sure to tune in for News AF coming up tomorrow. And then we will have our latest Survivor Know-It-Alls with Stephen Fishback live after episode number 5 of Survivor Ghost Island. Until then, take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
Shelter. I lost myself when I crashed. perched on the shore. Making another mistake. Shivering in the night and it's raining. Time will remember my name. I lost myself, I'm a ghost on the island.